Long ago, at the beginning of it all, there were two siblings alone in all existence save for one another. Over countless aeons, they quarreled and bickered, as siblings do. Their frustrations ebbed and flowed, never fully yielding. If you asked either, they would say they had nothing in common. The pair were true opposites, two ends of infinite spectrums that are sometimes best defined in opposition to or in absence of the other. But the truth of it was that they were alike in their need for companionship. An excerpt from the holy text, The Two's First Life, a translation to Sismari for the illustrious Athium.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Reckless Attack. We are 5th edition actual play. No, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I came in with a lot of heat and I still fucked it up. Damn it.
I was like full on with it and then I all of a sudden was like, wait.
Hold on. Yep. That was also my experience and I was the one saying it. So.
You, sir, are out of order.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I am your Dungeon Master, Nathan. Thank you for joining us here on a lovely episode of Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am super excited to be around the table here this evening with all of the excellent, excellent players. I was trying to come up with another word, and my brain's like, there are no other words.
Yeah. Hey, we're just all excellent. That's great.
You are just doubly excellent. Mm-hmm. But the first excellent person that I think should introduce himself should be...
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Warlock. And I have in front of me a lovely lemon beverage for this.
Excellent.
But, yeah.
Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent.
Can I just
squared.
Please pause a moment to put you in my brain as my husband yep. across the table gestures
same.
Across the table and says something lovely.
Same.
And then
100% same.
A lemon yeah. beverage.
100% same. Being...
My beautiful, wonderful, incredible, sensitive lemon
that's
beverage.
That's right. My partner.
Yes. 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 To say. Yeah.
My only, my one desire in life.
Yes.
This lemon beverage.
who I share something
yes.
special with.
Yes.
The lemon beverage. No, Sophie, I thought the... 100% same thing.
Because I was just mentally prepared to introduce myself.
He didn't even gesture yeah. really. And yeah. he like almost surrounded the beverage yeah. with his arms.
And across the table from me.
Which way? You didn't say. There's multiple people.
As I gesture,
are you gesturing at me?
As I gesture.
Oh,
I have a lemon beverage.
I'm playing.
Sophie.
Well, hello. I'm Sophie. And I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk cleric of the Arcana Domain, and I'm just ruined. Ruined by a lemon beverage. Yep.
Much like a couple episodes ago. Yeah. I already forgot what
ruined you. Oh, God,
ruined
no,
you that time,
find me the but... stinky bottle.
Yeah. Help.
Oh, no. Hi, everyone. My name is Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is having a absolutely wonderful time today because he has found what the party was looking for, the Untethered, hiding in the forest.
Yeah.
And is graciously bringing the Untethered to the rest of the party.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't see how that could have any problems whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. He did the thing.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
he's supposed to do. And
I've accomplished
wow.
the goal.
Greatest hero.
What are you looking at me for? Like, why y'all have that look on your face?
So, to be honest, they're probably not looking at you at this point. Mm-hmm. Their attention may be elsewhere.
Yes, very fair. But hopefully not too distracted by the screaming in the background is...
Hello, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing...
Sylvesterlin.
The Dragonborn Monk, who's, the United Federation starship Selv Asterlin currently has a hull integrity of about 34%. He can't take too many more hits, so he's going to probably do some evasive maneuvers. But yeah, that's about where we stand. So again, passing it to my left.
Hi, it's me, DM Nathan again. welcome back to my side of the table. Guys, you know, sometimes these intros are nice and chill. We get to kind of ease in, and haven't we already had so much fun here tonight? But there's, as alluded to, some pressing issues to be taken care of. But, you know, let's set the stage still just a little bit. You guys are in the middle of a forest, several hours from anywhere that you know to be safe or familiar, really. And you have just faced down some sort of strange smoke monster. It had some rather pointed remarks for some of you. Probably would have had pointed remarks for everyone, but a certain frog was off by his own lonesome self, jumping and running.
There was some criticism.
There was some criticism and some, oh, I don't know, some very hyper-specific secret backstory information that there is no goddamn reason why a monster would have any fucking clue about for at least two of the three present individuals. But you had to put that aside for a few moments as this creature tried to attack you, and you're not exactly sure what it wanted to do with you, but it felt like it could do something, even though what it was trying really to get after was the member of the bones that you had brought with you, the fortunate. And as it was trying desperately to catch up to this undead centurion, you told them to run, just get back to Agmar, do not look back, do not come back, because whatever this creature is, untethered two of its fellow members, or three, actually, one of whom made its way back to the city. You successfully stopped it, you protected your guide, the fortunate, and managed to take down this creature even as it was trying to stoke all of that fury and anger in all of you. As this thing disappeared, it said something cryptic about a war that had begun. Whew, boy, glad the stressful part of our day is over. Oh, wait. Checkers has lured the untethered member of the bones, your classic wild undead creature, just screaming and trying to rip apart any living flesh that it can get its hands and or spear on, back to the party. And isn't that great? And that is where we will pick up right this very second. What I will do is ask everyone to take a moment and describe their characters, what they look like, how they're presenting themselves, how they are reacting to the defeat of this strange creature and the arrival of, well, two strange creatures, but one very dangerous and the checkers. Other being Checkers.
Val, as she has dispatched this creature, even though it tried to take her greatest strength away from her, she had the confidence within herself to say, I am not defined by that, and used her intelligence-based magic to kill it. She is still feeling like that adrenaline pumping through her as she has an 18 strength right now.
Yeah.
But she's slowly feeling that shift back into her calm confidence that comes from her wisdom. She's feeling that shift back. But that's happening as this horrible monstrosity is coming towards her. And she is slightly regretting that strength leaving her right now.
Yep,
she's
fair.
Like, that felt good.
Would be really handy right this second.
But also, like, my spells will do better now. This will be okay.
Spells are good, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what she's feeling as she turns towards this horrible creature.
Kaskarin is actually on the opposite side of that spectrum a little bit, having had his strength drained and his wisdom massively increased. He has been kneeling after watching his party mates take down this smoke creature. And there are a lot of thoughts racing through his head as he's feeling his strength return. In his increased wisdom, he's thinking a lot about what the smoke creature said. He called him a coward and, you know, it's really resonating with him. But he doesn't have much time to ponder as Checkers suddenly jumps in and is like, hi.
Hi, everyone. Just let you know, we're in danger.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kasperin wants to take a break and reflect and cannot do that because... So what the party is seeing is a very gleeful Checkers just riding on top of Mango. And Mango is lightly just crackling with electricity as as the stack of frogs just shoots through the forest, jumping between branches, finally landing to like a skidding halt in the clearing where everyone is. And it's just like, guys, I brought a friend. And in the background, you can hear the bellowing, the screaming of this untethered creature as it gets ever closer to the party. And Checkers just has like this big wide smile on his face because this is exactly what he wants to be doing. It's just like,
this is what I signed up for.
Right. Just jumping around, fleeing for his life from an unstoppable undead creature, just like having a blast.
I have a question, and I don't know if it's best if you answer it, Jonathan, or if the group answers it. What percentage of the time? Uh-huh. When Checkers comes up to anyone and says, good news, I have a new friend, how many times is that a deadly creature?
I will say, for Val, Checkers has never walked up calmly with a
fair.
New friend.
That's true. That's fair.
He has always been sprinting for his life.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Checkers could have done that to Cass. Like, I don't know.
Right,
she knows Cass a lot longer. Yeah,
that's true.
But he's never like, look at this calm, tiny snail that I have in my hands, my new friend.
Right. Yeah, Cass, the moment you said that, just like his stomach drops. And just like a conditioned response.
Yes. Perfect.
I have a new friend. Oh,
oh
God.
No.
So, Selv, I guess, is a little bit worse for wear. He has been caught in some kind of area effect fire blast a couple of times. So he's a little bit singed. You can see like there's the kind of like the dark marks on him. And then when he sees Checkers, his kind of initial response is, oh, good, you're fine, you're okay. And then when Checkers kind of lands and delivers his, hey, guys, good news, I brought a friend. you see Selv just kind of, his shoulders kind of go down just a little bit. And you just hear, And then he kind of picks up on the screaming from the untethered that is headed in our direction. And I almost imagine... So Checkers and Mango were coming down from the trees.
Yeah.
Did they have to hop like, you know, any length of time on the ground to get to us? Or is it just immediately from the trees?
Yeah.
Down?
I'm imagining like they probably started descending before they got here. So he would probably be jumping like maybe from 10 feet up into just the middle of the group and then comes to a
halt. I was thinking of like an action skid in front of all of you guys,
exactly.
Basically.
So he's not coming from like 30 feet up.
Yeah. So I imagine he actually, Mango's and Checker are actually positioned almost directly in front of Selv, all the others are there. So like blocking Selv's view from whatever is
that
behind Checkers and headed this direction. And so kind of his initial response is like, yay, you're here, you're alive, you're great, that's fantastic. And then he hears that and just kind of tilts over to the side just a little bit to see this angry looking undead creature headed in our direction.
Sprinting at inhuman speeds.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's like those terrible mummies from The Mummy.
Yes, very much so. So as Selv said, what you guys know, Checkers, what you have been sprinting from and jumping from, and what you guys all know you were here to help, to find, to destroy, is a member of the Bones, an undead, ancient order of shock troopers, basically, used by the Pentarchy. This creature is totally clad in heavy armor. And you saw it. It had a spear in its hand, still has a short sword, but at the moment is just trying to use its gauntleted fists to pummel and or rip apart the frog creature in front of him. How we are going to do this is it is kind of a modified skills challenge. And I don't remember if we've done a full skill challenge.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So for those who don't know, a skills challenge is a 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons mechanic. Basically, it is a way to go around, use your skills to kind of tell a story, hit a DC, you pass, you fail, things happen, yada, yada, yada. But for this one, instead, how I think we should do it is kind of treat a skill challenge, but it is a scene. This isn't really a round. This is not combat. It is more of a, hey, what is your kind of first reaction? It can be something that takes several seconds. It can be something that even takes like a minute if it makes sense. But just kind of an amorphous, someone shouts out, hey, you do this. I'm going to do this. Someone else chimes in. I'm going to do this. And you just all converge as like a perfect unit, mm-hmm. hopefully. Mm-hmm. And we will then use skills to determine not just if it succeeded or failed, but how well it succeeded or failed. So how do you guys want to do this?
So what Checkers would like to do as soon as he comes to the screeching halt in front of everyone is I would actually like to set a trap for the Untethered when mm-hmm. it finally gets here. So the way that I'm thinking about doing this is actually using the spell Spike Growth
mm-hmm.
and just setting it up in an area, because if the creature hasn't seen it when I cast it, it is a camouflaged area. So trying to lure the Untethered into this space where we can kind of better incapacitate it or make it difficult for it to move around in.
Okay, got it. So I'm hearing like you kind of trying to, and we'll do a full recap once we've all chimed in. Mm-hmm. But so I'm hearing like maybe you're sneaking around a tree or you're getting a nice angle where like mm-hmm. it can't see you casting mm-hmm. and hopefully is covered enough to go from mm-hmm. there. Cool.
I would actually like to add to that a little bit because mm-hmm. based on the way Caskrin has seen these creatures move, like they are fast and yes. ferocious. And so I imagine this creature, when it gets to us, is going to launch headfirst into the first thing that it sees.
Absolutely.
In order to absorb the brunt of that impact, I'd actually like to ready Mold Earth before it gets to us to form this kind of like earthen barrier to just absorb the blow mm-hmm. and kind of trap it in the spike growth.
Okay.
And to buy Checkers just a couple more seconds, Val will use Thaumaturgy to get its attention so that mm-hmm. it will follow her and she can steer it where it needs to go.
Okay.
Val will be bait. Yeah.
Swole Val.
Yeah.
Slowly,
deflating.
Yeah. Slowly
deflating Val.
But maybe enough for this
man,
first
now I want
encounter.
Buff Val character art.
Muscle Val.
You heard it, guys. The call has gone out.
So this is probably not going to work because just based on what we have seen with the Fortunate, we know that these creatures are incredibly strong. But Selv is going to prepare Gust, which one of the things it can do is one medium or smaller creature that you choose must succeed on a strength saving throw or be pushed up to 5 feet away from you. And I am going to position myself so that if I push it and if it is successful, it goes into the area that Checkers has designated as the trap.
Okay, so here's what I'm hearing is perhaps a stealth roll
uh-huh.
from a Checkers to make sure he gets in the right spot. And again, open to interpretations,
cool.
a survival, a whatever.
Love it.
And we'll get a bonus to doing that because you're using a spell
cool.
to do it and using resources.
Mm-hmm.
For Mold Earth, is that a spell as well?
It is.
Okay, cool. I'm hearing, like, what I'm picturing is, like, a reaction time
yeah.
kind of thing mm-hmm. of, like, roll to nail it. Because it's not quite that, like, snappy 6-second combat thing. It is, like, you're waiting and you're holding and
yeah.
you are springing at the exact right action.
Right.
So maybe something along the, like, a skill along those lines. Then for the Gust, I'm seeing two different options for you. First, another stealth roll to make sure you are out of the way so this thing runs past you so that you're able to get the right angle on it. Or I will let you roll the strength saving throw of this creature and you will try to get low on it as your roll for this contribution. And that's up to you. And then for Thaumaturgy, did you have a skill in mind? Or is this like a performance thing? It could also be a reaction time thing. It could be, I'll even take a, like an arcana roll to see if you can like get it in the right spot at the right time, or even some sort of like a religion check to be like, what would capture this thing's imagination so much mm-hmm. that it would just charge forward? And any of that, I think, or
yeah.
variation therein.
I think arcana or religion, because
mm-hmm.
this Thaumaturgy is really just trying to grab its attention,
yeah.
and its attention is on a juicy frog boy.
Yes, exactly.
And I have to make a really loud and attractive
over-healing.
Noise
yes.
to
yeah.
Distract it.
Okay, awesome. So what I'm going to say is that because you are spending resources, I think I will just give you 1 degree of success better.
Nice.
So it is a scale of 0 successes to 4 successes. And so now your floor is 1.
Yay!
And a max of 4. So, everyone, roll me a skill check, please.
Oh no, we're all shaking.
It was a rollercoaster of reactions. Oh, no.
Should have gone with the save.
That'll be an 8 for Val.
Okay, that's a fail.
Checkers is an 8 for stealth as well.
Oh no, that's 2 failures.
Kaskrin has an 11 for insight to try to gauge when this creature is launching, but oof.
That's also a failure.
Sylv is hiding with a 7.
Oh, no.
Got 1 success, guys. Yeah, go us.
Thank you, Nathan.
Oh, no.
Boom, 1. Let's go.
Best laid plans, everybody.
Guys, it was not a high DC. I thought this was a nice, just like, cool. This was a good.
Yeah, nice warm up.
Okay, so what happens? So that is one. That is 1 success. So that is a failure, but not a catastrophic failure, but is a failure and a complication. So what happens? Checkers darts behind the tree and starts casting and is able to set up this little area. And Selv is there trying to time the gust and get it just at the right angle. Val is also right at the second to just when you think like we need to make sure that it keeps getting momentum forward. Kaskarin steps forward to make sure that he is the target and make sure that like all the force is coming there. And instead of being distracted by the sound, instead of being pushed past Kaskarin or it off balance into the well-laid trap, what happens is that this creature shoulder checks Kaskarin with the force of a gust and all of its momentum, and they both go toppling into Checkers's spell, and they are both restrained now.
So one thing, so spike growth will actually do 2d4 points of damage per space moved through it. So I'm imagining if the untethered is just like shoulder checking Kaskarin into the spike growth, both of them are going to find themselves just, and I also want to say, so the spike growth, once it's visible, looks like a big field of white coral.
Ooh,
so
I love that.
So it's like it's all dead coral, but it's just breaking off and shattering as the untethered and Kaskarin are just charging into it.
Oh, and I'm even imagining, because if you did it unseen, I'm even imagining like it almost being like camouflage, you know?
Yep.
And then like once you break into it, it's like, oh, that's coral. That's not.
You
can, I love that.
You can hear the like scratching and shattering of the coral breaking.
And I imagine, too, like, Kaskarin has not, like, created this earthen barrier the right angle, so the creature just almost, like, skips off of it and topples straight into Kaskarin.
Good call.
Hitting him at, like, an odd angle, and now they're both just, like, tumbling backwards into this field of coral.
Yeah, perfect. So I'm going to say with only 1 success, not only does that happen, you will definitely take, I'm going to say 3d4 of damage.
Okay. So I'm going to do 3d4. Oof.
That's so much.
That's so many damages.
That is 10 points of damage.
Oh, no.
As two creatures careen into the dead coral.
Okay. You guys find yourselves, and you are now, like, not only are you in it, and you get, like, dragged several feet by the momentum of this thing.
Yep.
You guys both tumble down, and this thing is on top of you. And it has not gotten its bearings yet, but you know, oh, shit. It is absolutely about to start to try and rip me apart.
Yep.
And that realization comes across as we move into a much more complicated scene too than I was anticipating.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by A Foul Light Shines, a new free serial novel based on a D&D campaign. The Empire of Fire and Water has known 20 golden years of peace since the end of Agenion's War, a peace which is now in peril. When a ragtag group of friends intervene in a grotesque monster attack, they're too late to save a wounded man who leaves them with an encrypted journal and the words, "Trust no one, Tyr. Can the gang find Tyr, escape the claws of more strange monsters, and uncover the lurking threat to the Empire before it's too late? This story features themes of found family and strength in diversity, and is available for free on Campfire and Royal Road. A Foul Light Shines. Come for the fantasy. Stay for the cheese-obsessed goblin gunslinger.
Hello, this is your pilot speaking. I would like to welcome you to Reckless Airlines. Our total flight time for this episode is approximately 1 hour, and we will be cruising at an altitude of 2,000 frog stacks. In a little bit, the flight attendants will be by with complimentary clips and excerpts from previous Reckless Attack episodes. We know you have a lot of choices when it comes to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcasts, and we would like to thank you for choosing ours. If you enjoyed your experience during today's episode, please be sure to fill out the in-flight survey and leave us a rating or review, or tell a friend. Book your next flight with us at www.recklessattack.com, and thank you for listening.
So, you guys have all tried to do your things. It hasn't gone super great. There's a Cascarin in the middle of a field of semi-invisible coral just rolling around like it's broken glass. And we will do another scene. So, this is what is happening.
This is where we get to save Cascarin, right? Cool.
Well, here's hoping the dice rolls are on your side, bud. God, can't believe everyone failed. That's nuts. So, now the goal of scene two. Goal of scene one, set up a trap. Get yourselves in a good position. Goal of scene two, rescue Cascarin.
Please help.
And potentially, obviously, get yourselves into a good position to...
In the immortal words of Talos and Jeffy, oh no, it's again.
So again, at minimum, you know you need to get Cass the heck out of there, or the equivalent. Mm-hmm. You cannot just let Cascarin and this thing roll around in coral. It will not go well, specifically for Cascarin. Yeah. And again, if part of doing that also puts you in a good position for trying to finally capture it and put the shackles on it, which, by the way, who has? I think Cascarin has those.
I have the shackles, yes.
So, what do you all want to do with that information?
Real quick, just to describe it again for me. Is the untethered on top of Cass?
Yes, they are on the ground, and Cascarin is on the floor of the forest, and the untethered is physically on top of him.
Val, in a panic, casts Sanctuary on Cascarin.
Seems good.
Selv will yell to Checkers and, by proxy, Mango, and just say,
knock him off of Cass.
And then, can Selv approach through the same path that they went through so as not to take the damage from the...
I do not believe so, since it is a spell.
Okay.
Because it just stays up, right? Like
I could, seeing how catastrophically poor it went, I could just drop concentration on it. I generally feel like the best option might be to just try and get Cascarin out there, even if it lightly injures him in the process, but...
So... Selv yells that to Mango, and then he reaches into his backpack and pulls out the immovable rod.
Yes.
Oh.
Nice.
So I am going to basically prepare myself, but if Mango is able to knock the untethered off of Cass, Selv is going to get ready to basically slam the immovable rod down on him, click the button, and then get the heck out of there.
All right, you got it. And Cascarin's going to, you know, he... Like, by reflex, by instinct, is just trying to keep this creature away from him, and in doing so, is going to try to put it in a better position for Mango to come in.
Okay.
So the way I'm imagining this, too, is I'm thinking instead of trying to, like, physically knock this creature off of Cascarin, I may try to use Thorn Whip to either drag the untethered off of Cascarin or drag Cascarin out from underneath the untethered.
I think Cascarin's easier to hit.
That's kind of how I'm feeling.
So, okay. Here's a potential solution. you yell out to Checkers, uh-huh. hey, you know, try to get Cass out of there, whatever. Yeah. Do something.
Yeah. Do something.
Literally anything.
Do something. And then either Checkers says something to Kaskrin or Kaskrin hears it and knows that he needs to do something right the fuck now.
Yep.
And I'm imagining you could try and like position him in a way, like you said,
yeah.
to make that easier and almost like roll a little bit while Val takes that moment of like just opening. Because right now, like you almost can't see Kaskrin, mm-hmm. I'm imagining, because there's so much like coral and undead yep. that like you are waiting for that moment where he either gets lifted up or moved or whatever for you to see.
So what I'm imagining will actually happen is, you guys know in the Thor movie where Thor and Loki are doing that get help scene?
Yes.
I'm imagining that Kaskrin and Checkers have a history together.
Yeah, of course
and
they do.
And they've probably done some level of like working together.
Yeah.
So when Kaskrin hears Checkers yell out, "Hey, Cass, it's breakfast time."
Kaskrin just subconsciously kind of stops fighting this creature and puts all of his arms, his legs down on the ground as flat as he can, like a pancake, in preparation of what's going to happen next.
I would like to highlight that this shows an immense amount of trust in Checkers.
Correct. Uh-huh.
And I don't want that, like, glossed over. Yes,
100%. And there's two ways for you to, but I'm imagining you handling this, David. So you are underneath it. Checkers does not have a clean shot.
No, no.
Period.
Yeah. Yep.
So what I'm imagining is an athletic check of some sort to like get that moment of like line of sight and then pushing yourself off, or any other interpretation, but Checkers cannot shoot you.
Yeah. Okay, I will say, like, as Kaskrin has been, like, wrestling with this creature, it has always been in that sort of practiced movement
yeah.
where he knows he has to, like, make himself available for anything else to happen. Like, he has to make sure that someone can see him, that someone can,
yes.
he can't do anything himself. So he's always positioning cool. the bone in a way to make that opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will also say he's hardening the stone via stone aegis on his arms and legs to protect himself as much as he can. Because as good of an idea as breakfast time is, yeah. he is not putting all yeah. of his eggs into that one basket.
Well, even if it does work, you're going to get shot with a thorny yeah. Fishing hook and be dragged through several layers of dead coral. Yeah. So like, it's not going to help either way.
Yeah,
this
it's
is
still
going to
hurt.
Suck.
Yeah. But
I am imagining the Jurassic Park scene where the T-Rex gets his face into the car is what yeah. is happening to Cass
yes.
right now.
That is,
he is trying to hold up that plexiglass.
That is exceptionally true. It's like, it is overwhelming the amount of violence that is inches away from Kaskrin's face and about to do some true harm. But luckily, he has friends. So, what does everyone... Does anyone have a skill that they believe applies?
Val, I think she would use perception because Cass is so hard to see
yep.
under the bones and she needs line of sight.
Yeah, that was going to be my suggestion. So agreed.
My preference would be for some kind of attack roll, actually, because I'm imagining Checkers having to aim this properly. But I would also take like a dexterity check of some kind.
I am fine with an attack roll. I'll probably up the DC just a touch,
sure.
but that is absolutely fine with me.
Kaskrin is going to use athletics to yep. try to save himself.
Is going to channel the teachings of Saint Thixius
yep.
to find his opening.
Yep. This is a move that he has practiced before that's kind of like on the ground grappling escape.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining probably some kind of attack roll to hit with the rod and activate it.
Or acrobatics to like
acrobatics
jump in
was,
there.
Yeah, acrobatics was the other
yeah,
one.
Yeah, because they're a couple of feet in, so like an acrobatics to get there seems reasonable. Some sort of other check to maybe time it right so that you are able to strike at that exact moment.
Insight or perception for the timing of it?
Yep, that would work 100%.
Okay.
We'll do insight just because it's different than what Sophie's
okay.
doing. Are you dropping the coral?
I am not going to drop the coral because okay. the assumption is that the untethered is going to stay there, but I would like to use inspiration for this.
All right, so to recap, reset the plan. Kaskrin is going to try to push the untethered off of him just to get that tiny bit of line of sight for Val to cast Sanctuary on him. and to make sure essentially that this creature cannot just pull him back down with, we'll call it an opportunity attack, whatever, and for Checkers to thorn whip him up out of safety, or into safety, mm-hmm. hopefully. And then in that moment, Selv is waiting, he is watching, he is reading the battlefield, and he's going to try and charge in and immovable rod the creature down in that split second. Give me a roll.
I needed that inspiration.
I was going to say.
21 for Val.
23 for Checkers. 16 for Kaskarin.
Natural 20.
Yeah!
Well, especially because you guys spent a spell and rolled so well, everybody succeeded.
Yes.
We did it.
Woo!
So, the plan goes off flawlessly. Kaskarin crunches himself down a la a breakfast pancake. You're able to slip in, get him out, and suddenly Kaskarin is lifted several feet into the air. Unfortunately, Steve, you will take some damage getting into this area. Uh-huh. Roll 2d4, please, Jonathan.
5 points of damage.
Okay.
That's not good for Selv.
Kaskarin is like a bungee cord,
yeah,
lifted up a couple feet in the air. Are you in a tree? I'm imagining like up in a tree.
So I was actually kind of thinking of dragging him across the coral, like out of the way.
Yep.
So here's my two thoughts. One, you're above him,
mm-hmm.
and you are just giving him that brief respite, and he will come crashing down and try to pin it finally. And if you keep the spell up,
uh-huh.
and Selv takes the damage, he will get advantage trying to get the shackles onto this creature. But Selv will take the damage.
Yeah.
But if you drop the spell, which is totally reasonable, you can drag him however you want, and everything is reset, and no one takes damage.
I want it to be as easy as possible to wrangle this thing, so even if we have to take a few hits along the way, I think it's better for us. So I'm keeping the spike growth up and also just pulling Kaskarin horizontally through the coral, so he's going to be taking some points of damage.
I'll say you can take the same 5 points of damage,
okay, yeah,
as he did.
Yeah, but I'll be pulled 10 feet away, like out from underneath this creature. Yeah.
Okay.
Into relative safety.
Mm-hmm. Scene 3. It is restrained in a lot of ways, so I'm going to say it is both. You will get advantage on trying to do whatever to this creature, and the DC will be a little bit lower. So you guys are in a very good spot. How would you like to proceed? And this doesn't even necessarily need to be seen. How would you like to proceed?
I would also like to ask, what does the bones look like right now? Because it is restrained in a couple of different ways, right? Like, how is the rod positioned?
So Cass had been pulled out from underneath this thing. So I'm imagining the member of the bones is kind of splayed out on the ground on his stomach. And what I'm going to do is come up, take out the immovable rod, and I'm going to try to find a spot in their armor where I can get the rod through and into the ground. Then once I do that, I'm going to click the button so it becomes immovable.
And just for the listeners out there who are keen-eared and deeply invested in the deepest of deep D&D lores, we are changing our immovable rod just a little bit, where essentially one of the ends has to be attached to or perpendicular to a surface. So it can't just be, you know, kind of the normal immovable rod. You can just put it at any point in three-dimensional space.
In midair, yeah.
And it can be midair, whatever. For ours, we require it to be attached to something.
So my plan to get out then was essentially to step on its back, get a running start, and leap over
leap
the coral.
Yeah.
Out of the way, yeah.
There's always breakfast time. Yeah.
I can't. I don't have enough hit points for breakfast time.
He also takes thorn whip damage.
Ah, I do. Please roll bad. 6.
Ah. I mean, frog die for the win.
Frog
it.
Die
yeah.
is
yeah.
doing
yeah.
very well.
Yeah. Frog die are killing everyone.
Yeah. Specifically, yeah. Specifically, Cass.
I do have a question.
Absolutely.
If a creature is restrained, but a magical effect says if it cannot move, the creature must use the dodge action. How does that work? Basically, I'm thinking about turning it, so it has to spend its actions trying to move away from me, but it can't move.
Correct.
So it would use the dodge and not be able to attack.
But it, I don't know if that makes it supernaturally harder to put shackles on. I'm basically trying to make sure, like, when anyone gets up close to it, it can't try to eat them.
Yeah. So I think your read on it is that 100% it would not... I mean, two things. You have Sanctuary on Kaskrin, mm-hmm. so it's harder to attack him. But if you were to turn it and it were to fail its save, it would absolutely not attack anyone.
Yeah.
And it would try... It would both use its action to try and, like, break out and get away and would be using all of that it can do to try and move. So, okay. No attacks.
I shall use my Channel Divinity to turn undead.
Okay.
What does your Channel Divinity look like, actually?
Give me time to think.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
I've not used this one before.
No. Okay, cool. As Kaskrin's being dragged through this coral, you know, he recovers. He's got Sanctuary cast on him. It's a better time, but it's not great. It's better than it was previously, yeah. Which is all we can hope for. So I actually, in order to get back, I have to drink my potion of healing, or I'm just going to die walking through the coral. But I will also, Kaskrin will pull out the shackles and get ready to just, like, jump in. So what I'm actually imagining is Mango would actually leap down from the trees next to you so that you could mount him and he could jump you back in.
Ooh, yeah.
In a much better position.
Ooh.
Okay, cool.
Hell yes.
Yeah, okay. So Kaskrin's looking in pretty bad shape. Like, he is not able to get through the spike growth again by himself. And so what happens... So as you're, like, recovering and trying to brush yourself off, getting the shackles ready, a determined-looking Mango jumps down from the trees next to you, readies himself, and you just see Checkers up in the trees just like, yeah, go get him. And Kaskrin hops onto Mango, just like a knight upon his trusty steed, ready to charge into battle.
His medium-sized steed. Yeah. His very ill-sized for him steed.
Yeah, yeah. He puts one leg over and Mango just, like, squishes down.
Yeah, I was going to say, and both your feet are still touching the ground around it.
Mango can only do the one jump. That's all he has the strength for.
Yeah, exactly. I don't give a shit about whether... He can carry that much weight. I give no shits. This is all I care about. This is the fiction that I choose to believe.
And so Kaskrin readies the manacles for when Mango makes his fateful jump.
Okay, great. So, Sophie, for the sake of having this all come together, why don't you just roll a d20? Okay. And that will be its saving throw against Channel Divinity, right? Because it is a saving throw to not be turned. Mm-hmm. So that will be your dice roll. So roll low. Selv, I will have you probably do maybe an athletics check to jump out of the way. And then do we have Mango make a check?
So I was potentially thinking animal handling.
Okay, that was the other idea I had.
Encourage Mango to give it his all.
I am extremely, extremely here for that.
I would like to double animal handling.
To just everyone is all animal handling, telling Mango he's a very good boy.
What is a boy? Good boy.
And then we will just, how about we resolve your three, and then we will have Kaskrin roll the final athletics. Yeah. Seems like a reasonable opposed skill check, if it even has to roll. If it saves, I will even rule that it cannot fight back, and you will just have to make a simple athletics roll to time it right, basically.
Cool.
So let's have the non-Kaskrins give me a roll.
Selv with an athletics roll of 17.
Ooh.
Nice.
Please describe as you fucking parkour out of there.
I feel like that's a deep squat jump out of there.
Well, so actually, Selv is kind of like jammed the immovable rod and clicked the button, and then he kind of like twirls and stands on this thing's back and shoulders. And since the immovable rod is only on like one side of it, it lurches up and kind of like its other shoulder lifts up just as Selv springs off of it and clears the area for the spike growth. And then kind of like does like diving roll and kind of like rolls and like
roll
ends up on
kind of
tuck and roll, ends up on his feet and like spins around and almost reflexively gets into a defensive stance, like there's no way this worked, it's coming after me kind of thing, and then realizes that it's still down there, and then it kind of like breathes like a
but I'm imagining this like slow motion jump, and you see this like gauntleted fist reach out and try to grab Selv as he jumps away, and then Mango holding holding Kaskrin.
Mango is a very squished frog
is.
But he just
very uncomfortable.
Steadies himself. And with the strong encouragement of Checkers, he is able to make that one fateful jump to take Kaskrin, the bloodied Kaskrin,
into the spike growth right next to the fallen untethered.
And Kaskrin, as he holds the gauntlets above his head, ready to smash them down into this creature,
feels a wave of energy crash. Like, I don't even know what that would feel like as a living creature, but it feels bad.
Well,
for the untethered.
I think for Cass, it wouldn't feel bad because it is vitality and life itself pushing this creature back and away from Val. So, Cass, you feel this, like, not warmth necessarily, but the strength that was sapped from you earlier. You kind of feel like a dose of it rush through you in this light blue light, and almost like you see a vague chalice kind of form, and it actually wraps itself around the creature. So the creature is kind of in like the cup of a chalice, and you see it like reflexively drop into the ground.
And Kaskrin yells at the bones, "We're getting you home, soldier! Just hold on!" And he pushes the manacles around this creature's arms, binding them together.
You hope. Roll me athletics with advantage, please. And it is not rolling against because of the channel divinity. Roll okay on one of these dice.
That is a 19.
Please describe to me what happens as you successfully do this thing, David.
So as the manacles lock around this creature, you can see the glyphs come to life on each side of the manacles. And there's a almost like subconscious weight from where this creature's arms are. It's trying to struggle, but between the immovable rod and now its arms being bound, it's unable to move anywhere. This creature has been like screaming in fury this whole time, but these screams are turning more towards desperation as it realizes that it just can't get out. Mm-hmm. And over the next couple of minutes or so, as we collect ourselves, a kind of almost resignation comes over. Is that a thing that can
so,
do or no?
Yeah. So what happens with these manacles is exactly that. So it is struggling and it takes a bit for the magic, for the energy or whatever to take hold. And slowly it starts to calm down, is not a good word for it. Resigned is maybe there's a tinge of that, but almost it becomes neutral over the course of a couple minutes. It no longer fights, but it is just laying there. Still active, clearly. But it is no longer screaming, it is no longer struggling, and appears to be, again, the only appropriate word is neutral.
Well, that wasn't that bad.
As Kaskrin gingerly gets off Mango, trying to...
Mango just like stays flat. Like it's just too much weight all at once.
Stays compressed.
Know? Yeah. He's like a memory foam mattress that's just been squished too much.
It takes a couple minutes. Yeah,
slowly reinflating.
Val would like to do a quick check to see if there are any signs of another bones.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone can give me a perception check if they'd like, or whoever would like to.
Guidance.
What I'm imagining is checkers would actually look for tracks of another bones in the area and maybe just see, one, if there are tracks, but two, how quickly it was moving.
Okay, so that would take a little bit longer than the perception, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But so the perception is like the snap, are we in danger? And the tracks would be like, okay, I'm going to go off here away from the battle and figure stuff out. So
okay.
No.
No.
Silva's a 9 on the perception check. Maybe if it's screaming and kind of headed right for us, I'll see it.
17.
Ooh. Oh. So the immediate information that you guys get of like, as you are waiting, as this thing is calming down and is kind of turning into nothing, essentially, some of you are on hyper alert being like, okay, is there anything else we have to make sure, like we cannot afford being snuck up on by one of these creatures. And you wait for however many heartbeats it takes and you feel, Kaskrin especially, you feel that whatever you're feeling and hearing and experiencing is relatively normal forest activity.
Self will move to at least look at the staff that the creature had dropped, because you said it was still there, right, mm-hmm. when it faded, and just take a quick look at it and just say,
can any of you tell me if this is still magical or not?
I can spend 10 minutes to ritually cast Detect Magic.
That might be worthwhile as we're kind of getting ready to figure out what to do next.
Agreed.
So, you all have successfully corralled this creature. It is slowly but surely, we will say, calming down. You know that your best shot at being protected, the fortunate, is long gone. You know that there is maybe another member of the Bones out here. And you know you need to not be in these woods before nightfall. And that's not even remembering that waiting for you inside the walls of Agmar is another potential attack by the Mothman. But that will all be for next week. Thank you for playing, everybody, and thank you for listening. See you next Tuesday.
Woo!
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Yeah.